The Geek Cave, brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey, nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome back to the best-smelling podcast on the internet, the Geek Cave Podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
Games. Games are great. People love video games. And well, except for that one guy, but we don't talk about him.
Damn. Now, wait, I thought it was Tim.
Was it Tim? I don't know. Maybe Dan was the movie guy.
I don't remember. They all bleed together at some point. It's probably one guy with like three first names.
Yeah. Anyway, want to thank our ride or dies, our sponsors. That'd be GameStop, power to the players, and Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. Got some great news here. I've got four articles. I guess that's kind of sort of like a baker's half dozen. And we've got a couple of... I have three, count them, three pile of shame reviews.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I was taking a drink. What?
don't get too excited. It's because I gave up on two of them.
Darren had nothing to do this month.
Well, he wasn't reading comic books, that's for sure.
let's just go ahead and hit the news. Apple is going to launch their own version of kind of like their own way to compete with Xbox Game Pass. It's called Apple Arcade. It'll feature games that are playable on iOS, macOS, and Apple TV, and they can also be played offline. So, okay, some big developers are connected, including Sega, so get ready for Crazy Taxi and Sonic again. Woo-hoo. Platinum Games, Devolver Digital, Annapurna, and Konami. Gotta get ready for that video pachinko and that, keep beating the dead horse of the Metal Gear Saga. No word on when it's going to launch or what it's going to cost, but Apple says they will have 100 exclusives with launch. And they also say that Apple will be involved in supporting some development of the games. They made sure to note all of these will be premium, non-free-to-play games. So no Where's My Water HD, no Flappy Bird's Quest for More Flap, none of that.
Hey!
to be fair, Darren, that was excellent DLC.
Okay, that's fine. I should watch what I say when it comes to that. But no word. Just apparently sometime this year, we'll see if it makes... Because, Game Pass turned out to be a pretty good deal. So we'll see if Apple can compete with that. Speaking of big computer companies doing things that they have no business doing, Google is getting into gaming as well.
The Stadia.
The Google Stadia, yeah.
Technically, they've been in it for a while, because when you lose internet connection, you hit the space bar and the dinosaur runs and you jump over the cactus.
Mine doesn't.
That's true.
Mine gets a whole bunch of asteroids and it just says, nope, this has been disabled.
Aw.
Well, shit.
The downside with Stadia, Stadia sounds pretty awesome. If you missed their presentation, and we've got like a write-up on it on deepcavepodcast.com, but if you missed their presentation, basically the way it works is if you have a pretty decent internet connection, and by pretty decent I mean 25 meg or better, then you can, according to them, be watching a video game like trailer or something on YouTube, decide, hey, I want to play that, press a button, and you're instantly playing the game because it's streaming from their servers using their PC hardware, so you can theoretically do this with any device running Chrome. That includes Chromecast on your TV, that includes your Android phone, anything like that. A lot of lofty promises. The downside is if you don't live in a place that has fiber cable, or if you don't live in a place where the data caps are generous, so to speak, this probably isn't going to be for you. Google Stadia will be streaming 4K video at 60 frames per second, but that's about 7 gig a minute. And if you've got a 300 gig data cap for your internet, like I do, it's not going to last very long. So Google says...
Yeah, don't even get me started on data caps.
Yeah, so Google says that this is the future, and I'm sure it is if you live on one of the coasts. But for the majority of the United States of America that does not live on one of the coasts, this is going to be a hard sell. Not really sure how they're going to I mean, it sounds cool. It looks cool. It looks like technology that would be great in about 10 years. Google also has a habit of dropping products or projects if it's not something that's immediately profitable. There's Google Plus, obviously. But I'm thinking of Google Fiber, where they were going coast to coast with fiber optic internet until they hit a snag in Lexington, Kentucky, where they had spent a couple of years digging little trenches in the road to lay down their fiber and didn't dig the trenches deep enough. So potholes were forming and the cables were being snapped, and instead of fixing that and serving their paying customers, they just dropped it and left the market altogether. So, yeah. Google Stadia coming by the end of the year, I guess, to some of you.
Yay.
Nintendo does have plans, according to the Wall Street Journal, to release not one but two new versions of the Switch this year. The Switch, as you know, is selling like gangbusters, so naturally Nintendo gonna Nintendo and release a whole bunch of different versions of it. One of these versions will be a cheaper model. It could remove the detachable Joy-Con altogether, so just think of it as a portable-only Switch. The Wall Street Journal says the HD Rumble feature will also be removed from that model, which is why the Joy-Con may not be removable. That could launch as early as this summer. The second, more expensive device will apparently have enhanced features targeted at avid video gamers, that according to the Wall Street Journal. While details on the Pro model haven't been released, we hear that it could be more than just a simple revision, that it could actually be a significant power boost. Right now, if you play the Switch in handheld mode, it's capped at about 720p. This would be at 1080, for example. Nintendo not commenting, but E3 is coming up in just a couple months, so it remains to be seen. I don't know. I mean, it's been a couple years. It sounds about like the time that Nintendo would release another version of the Switch. So I guess the question is, how do you do that without splitting the market, or do you even care? Do you just bundle Pokemon with it and away you go? Because there's a new Pokemon game this year.
I mean, honestly, I'm not surprised that they're doing that because, I mean, you've got the Switch.
Yeah.
And then you've got those fancy three-way switches that you can turn the light on from one side of the room or the other.
Yeah.
And then with the dimmer switch.
Yeah. I mean, there's all manner of options. Options for switching now.
I know. I mean, and my kitchen alone, I've got a panel of three switches. One of them is a dimmer switch. One of them's a two-way switch. And actually, the other two are actually two-way switches and a dimmer switch in the middle. So, you know, I'm...
You know, Nintendo's really just jumping on a bandwagon that's been around for a while.
I know, which is rare for them. Generally, they're very innovative.
Generally speaking.
That's...
Oh, well.
That's great, guys. That's all the news I've got. You guys got anything?
I got a couple of things. So Panic Button, the game company, they're kind of known for doing ports, are going to bring Hob to the Switch, already available on like PS4 and PC and so forth. This port, supposedly they're going to include some touch controls and the like to make this about the best version they can for the game Hob, a little action thing. And while we don't know yet, they also, at the same time that they announced this, they announced that they're going to bring Torchlight 2 to consoles. So this is kind of a spiritual successor to, like, Diablo 2, you know, in terms of that. And while they typically work with Nintendo, they didn't name a console, so it might be coming to other consoles as well. So I'm kind of looking forward to that because I really enjoyed Torchlight 2, and it was a little bit graphically intense for my last laptop. So there's that. The Game Developer Choice Awards were on March 20th, and Beat Saber won Best VR AR title.
It's great.
Which is to be expected. And I was just kind of looking for what was going to be the game of the year, because last year was so big with so many games coming out. And I honestly thought that it was going to be Red Dead Redemption 2. I thought it had it sewn up, just in terms of its technological achievements, the open world, the character development. I thought it had it. And it did win Best Technology. And what won Game of the Year? My boy Kratos. And the people at Sony Santa Monica won Game of the Year with God of War.
My boy Kratos.
God of War. other wins, Nintendo won Best Innovation for the Labo. And Return of the Obra Dinn saw the award for narrative. And everything I've seen about Return of the Obra Dinn looks pretty well amazing. So I look forward to that whenever we get a Switch.
Chad, I would like to interrupt for a second there. If anyone would like to win a random movie poster from our prize closet, hashtag my boy Kratos. Continue.
There you go.
All right. Also, Super Blood Hockey is a thing, and I'm expecting, Darren, that you and I are going to play this sometime and stream it for our viewers.
Oh, I've actually I've reviewed it on the Geek Cave's Steam curator page. Super Blood Hockey is fantastic, and it's definitely worth your time.
So it's showing up on PS4 with 4-player local.
Nice. Yeah, it's very fun.
So it's like, it looks like the best parts of Blades of Steel.
It's like Blades of Steel meets the original NES ice hockey, because you can choose between thin guy and fat guy, and it's great.
I'm all for it. I just saw the trailer today from C2E2 is going on now. Or not C2E, PAX East is going on now. And so those were some of the things that I saw in PAX East. So. But that's what I had in terms of news and things to bring up. God of War.
God of War.
My boy Kratos.
That's spelled B-O-I, by the way.
B-O-I.
My boy.
Hashtag M-Y-B-O-I. Yeah. Kratos. Yes, I do have something, Darren. Thanks for asking.
Sorry, I was just straightening up over here. I don't expect you. So... Justin, do you have anything?
Well, I actually do have something to talk about this time.
Awesome.
I know. So there's a game out. It's been out since about December of 2018. It's spelled G-R-I-S, but it's Spanish, so it's actually pronounced Gris, which is gray.
Mm.
The company that made it is based out of Barcelona, so I'm assuming it's Spanish. I could be wrong.
We're going to find out it's French because they don't pronounce the S.
Well, no, it could be. It's pronounced the same way in French, too. So either way, it's not Gris is what I'm getting at. It's not what it looks like. Anyway, you can get this on Switch through the Nintendo eShop or on PC. When I first saw the trailer for it, my first thought was, this reminds me of that game company's Journey, what I played at last year's Extra Life. Something that's more story-driven than combat or anything like that. And so I got a copy of it for the Switch, and I've been playing it. It's really good. It starts out, and the style is... not your typical like 3D computer generated that you would see in a video game. It looks very much hand drawn, the whole thing. Starts out, you're this girl that kind of wakes up in the palm of a giant statue. And everything seems fine. She starts singing. The world looks fine. Suddenly the statue starts to crumble and the world literally falls out from beneath her feet. She falls. This is just the opening cutscene. You haven't done anything yet. when the dust settles, she stands up. The screen kind of backs out a little bit, and then you move forward. Eventually, you can jump, and those are your only two options. You can move and you can jump. The world around you is now this stark kind of grayish white with black lines to kind of show some things, like the ground. And as you move through the level, ruins start to appear, and they're just black and white. And as you go along, you find these little luminous points that are just kind of floating there. You collect them, they follow you along, they help you get across a couple of paths. And at the end of the level, there's a pair of hands. You crawl into it, the points go up into the sky, and a color returns to the world. I think the first one is red. The next, all the levels are pretty much the same. They kind of get a little bit more difficult in puzzle-based stuff where you have to figure out how to navigate through the level. But you collect these points of light, and at the end of each level, another color returns to the world, and the next level has a little bit more detail and depth to it. So that by the time you've reached the final level, it's just this beautiful world that you're suddenly able to kind of walk around in. There is something that's trying to stop you from advancing, but it's not like your typical Ganon in Zelda where it's going to attack you and you're going to die on the first try because you haven't leveled up enough. It's really just, it tries to stop you. You figure out how to, it's kind of a puzzle-based problem. You figure out what in the room, basically, will defeat it to trigger it to kind of run away. So it's more puzzle-based than anything, and it's just more of a journey moving from start to finish to get the full scope of the story. It's very well done. The music is amazing. The artwork is fantastic. The gameplay is very simple yet elegant. You get a joystick and three buttons. That's all you get. You get a few power-ups here and there. But as the game goes, things start coming back and it becomes this very beautiful world you're in. Each level has memories you can collect. And if you collect all the memories, this is kind of a side quest. If you collect all the memories, it unlocks a hidden cutscene in the final level, which drastically changes the scope of the game that you're playing. Like it shifts, like you watch that final cutscene and suddenly the story is not what you thought it was. So no spoilers, because I don't want to ruin it for you. It's not necessary to beat the game or enjoy the game. It just puts a new spin on it.
Wow.
The game is called Gris, spelled G-R-I-S. You can get it on the Nintendo eShop or for your PC. It's a great game. I highly recommend it.
Cool. I wish I'd played that.
You know, when we started doing kind of video games, and we do make kind of light that you don't play a lot of games. And I think it was 2 years ago when we were doing Extra Life campaign and we were playing Doom.
Yes.
And you were just stuck in that one room because
I couldn't.
We gave it to you like after I'd gotten through all the easy stuff.
Yeah.
And then just said, here you go to Murder Room 7, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think any of us would have pegged you to be the one who kind of focuses on these much more atmospheric kind of games. You know, you're the Mario guy, you know, your spouse is a Zelda person.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, and so kind of the adventure type stuff is the stuff I would have pegged you for much more so than Flower or Journey, which are amazing games. I'm not putting them down. It's something that's like, I wouldn't pick it up had you not recommended it.
For strictly nostalgia-based purposes, Mario is probably my favorite game. Mm-hmm. But I don't go back and play it that much. If I'm in a mood to play a game, it's going to be something like Flower, Journey, or Gris. Those three are my top three games that I really enjoyed playing from start to finish, just because it allowed me to kind of immerse myself into the story.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no dialogue. In any of these games, there's no dialogue. There's no prompts. There's no... It's just suddenly you're this thing and you have to get to the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... it allowed me to focus on everything a little bit better because I wasn't worried about, okay, what's this cutscene? What's this person saying? We know what.
Why is Donald Duck here?
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it's games like that that I found in my elder statesman age that I... I'm the oldest of the three of us. Come on.
The elder millennial here.
Yes. Vintage 81, baby. I like those kinds of games, and I will probably be more apt to pick something like that up in the future. So, there you go.
Cool, man.
All right. Be like Justin.
Yeah, absolutely, be like me. It's rare, but yeah, do it.
You know who you shouldn't be like? I think we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Kent?
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
Oh, you know, the things that I do for you people.
That was a good night in Venice. For me.
Now, our listeners may...
I had a good time too.
Our listeners may remember that we, last month, were talking about getting me to play a Zorro game. Well, unfortunately, that did not work out because, you know, GameStop wouldn't ship it. Was it GameStop or was it Amazon?
It was Amazon.
Okay, Amazon. Sorry, GameStop. Amazon would not ship it to a post office box, and none of us were either brave enough or gave a shit enough to actually go pick it up.
I didn't give a shit enough. Yeah. I thought about it, like, nah.
So, no Zorro review, sorry, but we do to make it up.
We can still make this happen in the future, though, maybe.
Extra Life is coming up.
Yeah.
That generous soul out there who wants to donate $1,000 will make Darren play it to completion.
Uh-huh.
But
$1,000 single donation.
Oh, it's for the kids.
Yes. Anyway, you were saying.
So to make it up, I played three video games for my pile of shame reviews. I didn't get through two of them, but I still played three. So I'm trying something different. I'm trying to see if I can live off of just the Xbox Live Gold and PlayStation Plus free games every month. So, this month is a Star Wars doubleheader. Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy, which came out in 2003 on the OG Xbox. And Star Wars Republic Commando, which came out in 2005 on the Xbox and Microsoft Windows. And let me tell you, if I had to pick between these two games and falling into a Sarlacc pit... That
you will spend 1,000 years.
That pit looking real good right now. Let's start with Jedi Academy. And let me preface this by saying I know there are a lot of fans out there. I know these games are beloved, and I know that at the time they received positive reviews. But since the Pile of Shame takes a look at games as they are now, not as they would have been received then, that's why I'm going to review these games the way that I'm going to review them. Jedi puts the player into combat in the Star Wars Expanded Universe. You play as Kyle Katarn. You play as Jaden Kor. See, it's so bad I don't even remember who I'm playing as. Kyle Katarn is your mentor, and you have to complete various missions assigned to you by both him and Luke Skywalker, a poorly voiced Luke Skywalker, may I add. And the whole idea is you choose the character, species, and gender, and you're on your way to the academy, and something happens. Someone bombs the academy. Someone steals some stuff right under Luke Skywalker's nose. And, you're on your way to defend and use the Force, and I gave up after 20 minutes. I just,
I'm Luke Skywalker. Power converters. Was that about it?
Basically, yeah. The combat is very... You can tell that this is an original Xbox game. It's not like Halo or Jade Empire or one of those games that gets, you know, that stays the same, if not gets better with time. This one's just, I mean, it feels like you're hitting someone with a glow bat as opposed to a lightsaber. The use of your powers is kind of odd, the way that they're mapped to the controller, and doing it on an Xbox One controller is no better, I can assure you that. And it runs off of a pretty obviously outdated engine by now, by today's standards. I'm not going to hold that against it. I will just say that you have to really, really be nostalgic for Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, or you have to really, really be in the mood for some mediocre Star Wars to stick with this one. So I would say give that one a pass. So I did, and I moved on to Star Wars Republic Commando.
So what you're saying is, if you're fans of episodes 1 and 2, you're going to love this game.
Yeah. I didn't get much of the story because once, like, a bright orange Twi'lek steals stuff from the Jedi Temple, literally walking right past Luke Skywalker to do it, I'm already out. So, Star Wars Republic Commando is a tactical first-person shooter in the Star Wars universe. You play as one of the clone troopers. This takes place during the Clone Wars, that kind of thing. And it's fun. It is fun. It plays kind of like if someone had did a Star Wars mod for the first Halo game. It's pretty much what it feels like. You lead a team of clone commandos traveling to various locations in the Star Wars universe. And, you know, you get to do clone trooper things. The only thing that kind of hurts this one is it breaks your perception a little bit of disbelief, because there's no way that stormtroopers are this accurate. Yeah. Combat feels good, but I just kept thinking, I should have missed. I don't really have much to say about it. I played for a couple of hours.
I played for a couple hours, and the best I can say is...
It did not spark joy.
I played for a couple hours.
Well, you know, the thing so is...
I took it out. I thanked it for its service.
And I threw it away.
I mean, to be fair, it's got kind of a short story, so I think I may have gotten actually halfway through the story. Combat's good, but it's nothing really to write home about. It is an average game. And there was a sequel planned for it. Didn't actually get off the ground. Of course, we know part of that is because Disney ended up buying LucasArts and shutting that bad boy down before reopening Lucasfilm Games earlier this year, but still saying, no, we don't really have any plans to discuss at this time. So Republic Commando, I'd say, I don't know, maybe a B-, C+. It's worth a look. And finally, I played a good game, which is Axiom Verge. This is available on the PS4, Microsoft Windows, OS X, Linux, PlayStation Vita, Wii U, Xbox One, and the Switch. So it's pretty much everywhere. And it's really good. It's a side-scrolling, kind of a 16-bit or 8-bit. It's one of those retro-style indie games. You play as Trace, a scientist who may or may not have accidentally destroyed the world. And it's Metroid. It's basically Metroid, except you're playing as a guy with a small brown afro. It's fine. I mean, the shooting is good. The story is okay. It's good enough to keep you going. The weapons are nice and unique. The gameplay, it's difficult, but it never feels like it's punishing you for not being good enough. It's just, encouraging you to find another way or to try another strategy. So... I really liked it. I would say be like me on this one. I don't want to give anything away. It's not like a very long game. But it for the amount of time that I spent with it, which was several hours, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I recommend anyone who is interested in the Metroid or Contra or those old type games, Bionic Commando, give it a try. It's not very expensive. It's available now pretty much everywhere on all the digital shops and in physical media forms, at least for the Switch. I'm not sure about the other systems. definitely worth your time. And it was a nice way for me to kind of like, I don't know, get a positive taste in my mouth after those last two.
Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm glad you had at least something pleasant in your mouth.
Oh, well, you know, once a month. So anyway, anyone else got any news?
Nope.
Awesome. All right. I want to thank our sponsors, and that would be Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today, and GameStop, power to the players. Be sure to keep an eye on GameStop, because if Nintendo does announce one of those new Switches, I guarantee they'll have some great trade-in deals so you can kind of trade up if you want to get, I don't know, we're just going to call them Switch Mongo and Switch Handheld. Switch Mongo.
I hope that the Switch Mongo gets a Mario Maker 2.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Mario Maker 2 is coming out in
June. Day one buy for me. Yep.
So.
If they bundle it, it'll be a day one buy for me.
There you go. There you go. Nintendo.
Mongo loves Sheriff Bart.
Nintendo, you know what you got to do. And also, if you're listening, if you listen to the comic segment, you know what you got to do. Hashtag my boy Kratos. And it's...
No, gaming segment, not comic.
Didn't he mention it in the comic segment?
No.
No, it's video game awards.
You know what? I haven't slept in a while, so whatever. Hashtag...
If you've listened to this segment that you're currently listening to...
Hashtag my boy Kratos. You might win a random...
Boy is B-O-I.
B-O-I. You might win a random movie poster. These are posters that are pretty sweet. They hung in a particular movie theater, and they are now going to be available to you. So not your standard posters. These are pretty nice. Well, if there's no other business for Justin and Chad, I'm Darren. Thanks a lot for listening to the gaming segment, the movie segment. Be sure to download that and download the comic segment as well, because Justin talked about a different version of Captain Marvel, and it was pretty sweet. And we'll see you on the podcast service of your choice.